This is No Direction's PaizoCon 2018 seminar coverage. PaizoCon 2018 seminar coverage was made possible thanks to the support of the Roll for Combat podcast, as well as the dedication of our team of volunteers. Due to possibly questionable language, this panel is rated Sorry, Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan.
All right. I've got one. Do you want one of this? I think we'll probably get a few more people trickling in, but all of our panelists are here, and it's after 3, and we only have an hour. We want to learn as much as possible in that time. So, welcome to Freelancing 101 with Freelance Forge. We're going to start by doing some introductions, and I will go last.
So, you have any questions? That makes sense. I'm Andrew Mullen. I have been a professional freelance writer for about 10 months. So I'm hoping to bring a beginner's perspective. I've done a few things for Paizo and some third-party publishers, and compared to this guy, not nearly as much.
I'm David N. Ross. I have been freelancing since 2010, and I'm probably best known for my books for Paizo. I did Inner Sea Intrigue. I've been on a half dozen hardcovers, Starfinder, a dozen player companions, and a bunch of stuff for third party too. I am hoping to offer some perspective on how to maintain networks once you start building them.
Hi, I am Kate Baker. Very brief story time. So I went to GamerX 3 at the end of 2015. I went to the Queers of Three-Sided Die panel and heard Wes Schneider, who was at the time the editor-in-chief at Paizo, addressed the audience and said, "Why aren't you working for us? I see women in this room, people of color, LGBT people, you should be writing for us." And I was sitting like up near the front and it was like, wait, you can just like do that? You can just like write? So I was jamming homebrewing and that was like, hey, maybe I should try out this writing thing. So that got me interested. So I started then. I'd say I've been, well, the last time I had it between projects was about a year ago. So a year of very heavy freelancing and about a year and a half before that of periodic work. The most prominent things I've worked on, if you're doing Starfinder Society, I wrote 108, Sanctuary of Drowned Delight, and I have a Pathfinder Society scenario about to come out.
And I'm Joe Kondrak. I've been doing it for a couple years now, and I am happy to say, as of this time, this very convention here, I have my first work with Paizo appearing in the War for the Crown of Issue 4, the back matter. I have some monsters in there. But I've also done work for third-party publishers, primarily Rusted Iron Games, which they focus on a lot of plant-based, like plant monsters, and nature-themed material. I've done magic items, other natural type of items, templates, and monsters. And I think what brought me into this in the first place was... I have to admit, it was the contest. The RPG Superstar was what kind of got that bug where I realized I play the game, I enjoy it, and I do some homebrew designs, but once I saw what people were contributing to the contest, I realized that if with just a little bit more formal presentation, I could take what I was doing a lot of for my friends and just kind of try to kick it up a notch to make it that put that professional polish on it. And I didn't do very well in the contest, but I prepared ahead in the contest and then just started submitting those designs and trying to pitch and working with Wayfinder, too. You've probably all heard of Wayfinder, I imagine.
If you haven't, you should check them out.
Yes.
Swing by the store.
Yes.
Yes.
We have stuff in it.
I'm Crystal Malarski. Hey. I don't have a name tag because so I got my start doing RPG Superstar. I was in the final four for the very last season of it, and I was like, oh, hey, this is the thing I'm doing now. Cool. I got a contract out of it, and I just kept getting work from it. I'm like, I wasn't expecting this, but cool. Okay, yay. Can I have a nice day? And yeah, so... I've written for Paizo. I've done several adventures for them, some back matter as well, and with Playground Adventures as well, which is a wonderful family-oriented company. If you guys don't know about Playground Adventures and you're trying to introduce young children to RPG, highly recommend it. It's really wonderful. Equally fun to do.
And I'm Mike Kimmel. I started freelancing with some third-party Pathfinder publishers around 2010. Kind of just by accident, I was online and following different companies, and one of the companies I was buying products from tweeted, this guy was writing some feats for me, and he fell through, and I need a writer. And I was just like, I can do that. And it was a lot more work than I thought it was going to be. I was like, oh, shoot. Go. I can't just kind of make it up like I do when I'm GMing. But then 4 years after that, while I was doing work for third-party publishers, through RPG Superstar, ended up getting some work with Paizo. And then once I had success in RPG Superstar, which also took a lot longer than I thought it was going to, I started the group Freelance Forge with a lot of other folks who were part of that community. And that brings us to what on earth is Freelance Forge? Essentially, it's just an online web forum that we set up to network with each other, give each other feedback, ask questions, share gigs with each other, and it's kind of steadily grown since then, and we decided to put on this panel to network with other people and share what we've learned and our various levels of experience with other people who maybe have started freelancing or are looking to try and start freelancing.
And I hope show a path forward to get hired and give you some first steps on that path. Because at least for me, when you first start out, it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Right?
That's okay. How do I do?
Yeah.
So, Freelance Forge is free to join. So I'm not trying to like sell you to join. Yeah, right. So
got free in the name.
Right. and so yeah, you can just hand out cards with the address and everything on it for anyone who's interested in joining later on.
And for those listening to the recording, it is freelanceforge.boards.net.
Thank you. Freelanceforge.boards.net. And the only requirement is that you kind of agree to our community guidelines, which are very brief, but basically we're an open, diverse group. We welcome anyone. And so that means that any sort of like bigotry or intolerance in our community, we haven't had any because we stay up front. That's not us. We will welcome whoever wants, and we encourage diverse groups of people to join up. So that's us. I kind of thought that some interesting topics that we might be able to talk about might be like how to get started as a freelancer, what resources are out there for people trying to get started, how to network and communicate with developers and things like that, general tips. Before we open it up for questions, we only have an hour, I want most of this to be open for questions. I just wanted to survey the room and kind of see who we have in here. So who has not done any freelancing yet and is here to maybe try and get started in it?
By freelancing, you mean paid?
Freelancing, writing work. Paid, writing work, or other work for a role-playing game. So,
cool.
Awesome. Who's done some and is just here to learn some more? Anyone feel like maybe they should switch places with someone?
Yeah, right? I see somebody back there.
Okay, cool. Well, let's open it up for questions. So, anything that you want us to talk about, we're happy to answer.
I think mine's kind of like deep in the, I don't know if we can curse on this podcast.
Good question.
Curse? They prefer you not, but if something slips out, there's a disclaimer for Pfizer.
Yeah, I've heard that disclaimer before.
So my question's mostly related, I guess, more of, so as a freelancer, we're technically a business for ourselves. Where can we go online to find, I guess, ways of you like creating yourself as a business. So things like taxes and things like all of that, like all of the really boring business aspect, but the stuff that we need to know.
Yeah.
Because knowing that right when you start is better than tax season arrives and oh shit, what do I? I'm sorry.
Disclaimer.
Can I actually hop on that right now?
Yep.
So Jim Zub has written his comics writer. He's done stuff for the Pathfinder Comics and things. I think it's a Tumblr. He's got a blog, basically, where he offers stuff like that. And I think maybe just like 2 months ago, he did a big post during tax season about tax season's coming up. Here's maybe what you missed. Here's what you can do for next time to sort that whole thing out. Jim, J-I-M, Zub, Z-U-B. I read through that, and I was like, oh, I didn't know a lot of these things. I'm glad I read this.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, some stuff you're really going to have to look into your local government, because different cities, different states have different rules. Some cities or states, you need a business license no matter how small it is.
Yeah.
Some places you only need a business license if you hit some income threshold, and that's not a thing that any of us can tell you unless you happen to live in our same city. So.
And that varies, I know, from area to area with the actual kind of work as to how much, what licenses you need or don't need. And in some states, I imagine that freelance writing is something that, you need to be licensed or not.
I had to get a building inspection for mine. It took 1 minute, the person came by, and it was like, this is my desk, this is where I write. And she's like, all right, cool. but it's a one-size-fits-all for other kinds of businesses where that's relevant. So, yeah, it's very local.
So maybe find a local tax advisor or something like that.
Yeah.
Or call City Hall. They'll probably...
Call City Hall. Yeah. If you know a freelancer who lives in your area, or, ask on a community online, are there any freelancers who live around here, just to give sort of general advice, and then definitely check with... an advisor of some kind real quick. I was fortunate enough that my wife already was a writer, freelance writer from home and everything, so already knew how to do all that and help me get set up. So it just really helps to know someone who knows your area.
That's unfortunately trying to trawl through, local and state government sites. It's usually not super up to date, and it's a pain. So it takes some work.
So I have a degree in English, and I've been trying to get into writing for quite a while now, and I just can't seem to get my foot in the door. Paizo doesn't talk to me. I've tried some third-party publishers and said, hey, I'd really like to write for you. Is there something I can do to show you? Can I submit something? Can I make a portfolio for you? And I just never get any response back, ever.
Have you submitted to Wayfinder at all?
I have not submitted to Wayfinder specifically. I know that Wayfinder only accepts certain things. It's like they'll make a call out for X or Y or Z.
So,
and I didn't have anything particularly relevant. The couple of times I've checked Wayfinder for the next coming issues.
So getting your foot in the door, kind of how do you get noticed by the publishers? Yeah. So sometimes, like with RPG Superstar, a publisher might have a contest or something like that where they're saying, we're doing a talent search and we want to find people. Paizo doesn't do their RPG Superstar anymore.
I've submitted to RPG Superstar a couple of times. I submitted to, one time they did a make an iconic ability.
Yeah.
I submitted to that. Okay. I submitted to a couple other things, and I've just never...
I don't know how many times anyone in here submitted to Superstar before being, getting in or whatever. I submitted 4 or 5 times before making it through. And so you're doing the right thing by submitting, practicing, just trying again and again. Sometimes it's luck, right, with the contest and everything, whether you get noticed or not. And I would say if you're approaching a publisher, one of the best things to do is just to have a sample for them already, like on a site, or if you're maybe you have a design blog or something like that where you're just posting stuff out there, or Wayfinder. Right?
Wayfinder, I think we'll probably all echo that as a good first step, because it's at a level of quality, I think, that it's really good, kind of like training wheels. If you turn your work in and you work with them, there's a way in which it is really like working with a paid publisher.
And it shows you can write to spec.
Yes, which is very important.
Theme, you can produce what they want you to produce within the guidelines they said, which is super important.
Yeah. Another thing, I'm afraid I don't have an actual link because it's just on some threads on the Paizo message boards, but you will notice if you go looking that there are sections for freelancer open calls. A fair amount of the publishers, when they have something that they need, they may or may not have somebody already in mind, and they'll just essentially post an open call. And those usually are pretty specific as far as what exactly they're asking for. They may say, you know, I need three of these crunch articles, each at this amount, and send a pitch of no more than 600 words. It might, you know, varies from publisher to publisher, but that's another good place to look, is there are certainly threads that have open calls where essentially anybody can submit, and then it's literally when you submit, it's in front of the publisher, and they're looking at it, and they will respond, and mm-hmm. and whether that's via email or on the message boards themselves.
I will say a lot of it is luck and timing. So if you're feeling like, you know, I keep submitting stuff, I don't hear anything back. Sometimes I just never hear anything at all, not even a rejection. The RPG industry, people who work in it are extremely busy. They've got mm-hmm. day jobs still, or if they're full-time games, they are cramming their own freelance into it. It happens sometimes. I mean, I think everybody wants to get back to everyone, but sometimes it just can't happen. And I know it's hard, but you just kind of have to not take it personally and keep on submitting. You know, I know for me, like, it was a lot of open calls, Wayfinder, you know, do a thing. Wait a few months. Oh, here's another thing. And then wait a few months. But you keep doing that. You start getting published. You start, and this gets into another thing, but you do those things well. You are pleasant. You are nice to everybody. You get your stuff in on time and at spec, and you will build your reputation, and you will eventually get there. So, you know, just keep on trying.
Even novelists, there have been, like, famous novelists, they had to submit the novel that they're well known for, like, 15 different publishers before they eventually got and they end up becoming famous for that one
novel. The one thing that I found helped me before I got my first gig was being dedicatedly active on a forum with other designers who took the task seriously to workshop each other's material, practice, make things because we thought it would be cool, and then taking to heart criticism that you got and trying to understand, was this a legitimate flaw? Exactly how can I address it? And then once you have something presentable from that, use it as a writing sample to present to potential clients.
Critique groups are incredibly important if you're going to be doing any sort of artistic endeavor, particularly writing. It really helps to have, because if you're not doing that, you're surrounding yourself in an echo chamber of just you, and only, you know, you're not getting the feedback that you need, and you really have to learn and hone in on the skill of just not being defensive when people are going to bring back, because you can't be too attached to what you're writing. You really have to listen to what is working and what's not working. So you got to get a thick skin.
You can develop your thick skin on freelance boards. .boards.net.
We're people very nice and constructive.
Yes. So, yeah. Very nice. Yeah. A wonderful community.
Yeah. No, no one's just going to be mean there. It's,
yeah.
So you guys are talking about the community of freelance writers and such. And that's certainly something that we're all interested in. But a successful game requires more than just the writing. You're also, you know, looking at things like layout, you know, illustrations, maps, and I was wondering, you know, are there any specific online resources that folks look for in terms of map making or e-tools? Like, are there related communities developing e-tools for people to play with, for helping run campaigns, for even for helping develop, say, databases of information for folks to use when it's you know, time for them to be doing their own writing or their own whatever their creative endeavor is?
I don't know of any sort of codified, pre-constructed site specifically for that.
I mean, we have a section on Freelance Forge call advice and resources. And so oftentimes people have hopped on there and been like, hey, I'm looking to make a map and I don't really know where to start. And then we just start sharing resources. You know, fantasticmaps.com is a popular blog. You know, share different map making and drawing sites and things like that. So I can't think of another site specifically that sort of collects all of that. I personally just went, when I was learning to do maps, onto the old RPG Superstar contest, because they're all still up there.
Yeah, they've got for them.
Maps up there with critiques from the Paizo developers and all their judges and everything. Just kind of read through and see what works, what didn't work for these.
If you're talking more than just maps and like layout and art and stuff, again, I don't know specific community, but I think probably between us, we all know folks who do those things.
Yeah.
So at the very least, you know, if you find community, you can talk to folks in there and say, hey, who do you know that I could pick their brain about X? So,
well, like, just curious about if that community was already in place, because like. I made maps professionally for 9 years, so that part of it I know how to do.
Sure.
It's just like, who do I talk to? Be like, hey, you need a map of the town?
There's Discord servers, there's Facebook groups, and I think it's just a matter of kind of finding people in those groups. And
if there are publishers that you think your work would fit with the style of stuff they publish, just go ask the publisher, who do I give a card to? Is there someone I could send a sample to? Show my portfolio, like just at the booth in the show floor, for example, or at Gen Con, you would go to a similar spot in Expo Hall.
Yeah, that's kind of the tough part. I literally can't show it in my portfolio.
But you can make a contact with somebody who might care about your portfolio
The work I did, I literally can't share.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yes.
So yeah, and that is a unique situation that probably is a little tricky. I don't know if I'd have a perfect answer for that.
I will go back to the earlier discussion of Wayfinder. One of the really nice things about that is that you can use it as a sample. So, and they have art. I'm not 100% sure on maps, but I know there are adventure seeds, so they might need some maps.
They do.
Yeah.
I did the adventure seed.
Oh, awesome.
Time, so
yeah,
I mapped it out, but they drafted the handouts.
You know, I know that's sort of like, hey, go volunteer to do this other work for free, but that was for me a huge benefit of it was that it was something that I could show to other publishers because work I did. You know, for pay starting out, even if it was an open call, if it was paid, I can't take that and show other publishers. It was work done for one person. For one company. Wayfinder, you can show everyone. So it's incredibly valuable in that respect that you can continue to use it for that purpose.
As a general principle of getting writing samples from previous work, it never hurts to ask a previous client if they'd be okay with you privately sharing it for that specific purpose. I've had many clients who are generally protective of their IP, but don't mind that as long as I make clear to my client that I am sharing this only for this purpose, and I get permission from them ahead of time.
And I've had success with that as well.
So a question here and then back there. So
writing is my main focus, but I also have a lot of graphic design experience. And I just wanted, you know, any way that I can kind of merge those two skills and like utilize this. I feel like this is a skill set that's like a part of the industry, but I just don't know how to access that.
Do you mean specifically like layout type?
Or? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is a much valued skill.
I mean, Paizo does that layout stuff in-house, so unless you got hired by Paizo, then you wouldn't like do that as a freelancer for them, as far as I...
But like third-party?
Always. All third-party publishers always want people doing layout all the time.
That's a good thing that you can demonstrate quickly and easily with a portfolio piece, like but just a few pages are enough to show how presentable something looks.
And if you can always never discount doing your own products as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you can, like, if you have an idea and you want to produce it on your own, it's a little bit more, you know, resources and you're maybe not going to get money. But if you want to produce a full piece by yourself, have that and be like, hey, I made this, and, you know, you can go on DriveThruRPG, and you can, you know, put it up there to sell, and you'll have it also in your portfolio. But yeah, third-party publishers are really the way you want to go, because a lot of them are going to, if they have someone that can do both, even better.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I'll echo that about it serves a dual purpose if you can essentially have it as an example that you can show, and maybe you're not interested in going all the way into self-publishing, but there's no reason that you can't finish what you consider to be a finished product, and then at that point it serves a dual purpose of you could try to market it and be a publisher, or at that point you at least have some things that you can share, you know, a finished product.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
So you talked about elevating your homebrew content into more professional pieces and the shift there. As someone who's really only done extensive homebrew stuff, can you talk a little bit more about what the difference is, or if you saw the differences elevating that homebrew content?
I've done some of that, and I would say one of the biggest things is just the formality of presentation. I don't know exactly how you are with mechanics and rules language and things, but essentially what I found when I was only doing things for homebrew, and I still have all of that material, when I look at any of that compared to the first times that I started trying to put something together in what I consider to be perfectly formal presentation, it is a lot more work. And it definitely looks different and feels different, but there's a kind of a satisfaction of, even if you had some of your material that you liked a lot, but if it just wasn't quite there in the formatting, that might be a good place to start, is to take some of your creative ideas that you like and say, well, it worked for my home game, and it was at least usable, but it doesn't look like how something looks in a published product. You could try to bring that level of polish to it. At least that's where I would start.
And I think it is a little tricky. I know, you know, I was homebrewing, running my own homebrew campaign before I was interested in freelancing, and I've actually never tried to take anything from my homebrew campaign and publish it. It's, you know, frankly, it's personal. It's written around those players, and for me, trying to take that and making it into a commercial product wouldn't work for me. But I learned a lot about how to write encounters, you know, how to draw maps, how to make things interesting. So it's, even without directly trying to sell that product, you know, having a strong background in writing your own homebrew is going to be really valuable for them trying to write commercial products.
And also, you know, if you're talking about sort of elevating or transforming your own stuff into something professional, I certainly use, like, magic items and things I had wrote for a home game as writing samples following up after a convention. Yeah. And then that's, you know, like you said, going through, making sure you incorporate the format standards. So Pathfinder, you know, when you're talking, like, magic item aura, it says aura is bolded. The next stuff is all lowercase, not bolded. There's a semicolon at the end. Those little details to show that you're paying attention to the house style, you know what to do, you think in that way so that the folks you turn the stuff over to have to do less work.
And those styles and how the different publishers present their work, until you start getting a fair amount of work, you may not have access to something like an official style guide. And really, it's sometimes difficult, but it's rewarding too, and that is to just reverse engineer. So if you have a particular publisher, Paizo, I would imagine, if you look closely at their work, usually you can work backwards and say, you know, this is exactly how this needs to be presented.
I didn't have style guide access until my third gig, so that's what I did, is just look at that copy.
And reviewing what they're doing is also a fantastic way to practice looking very closely at how they're wording things, why they're using this wording, how this makes, for example, a magic item general enough that it's going to be useful to other groups aside from just the home group you specifically designed this item to be appealing to. And also, of course, there's always the question of how you're balancing it when you combine it with all these other things that exist in the game. And reading them is the first step to doing, you know, the comparison for interactions.
I know, especially with third-party publishers, sometimes you get, like, completely wildly unbalanced stuff. I was just wondering, how do you juggle that? If you're, like, going to make a new magic item or something, or make a new feat or something, and you're like, how do I juggle this to make sure it does the cool thing I want it to do, not just completely break certain builds or make things
I would say unplayable? To start, playtest.
Or do you just avoid that by not making new magic items?
Oh, no. Magic items are really fun to make, mm-hmm. But also show a lot about you as a designer and kind of your chops because of that balance issue, right? Mm-hmm. I would say that playtesting is key, and also running it by a lot of people who play the game is essential. Because you might get a lot of players who look at it and say, you know, this 4,000 DP belt is great, but I'd rather have a belt that's friendly. It needs to change, you know, you need to rebalance it, that kind of thing. And so just running it by people who play.
And if people said, I'd buy that.
And if 100% of people
exactly, then that's right, probably so, unbalanced the other direction.
And it's helpful to whoever your most power gamer friend is. How would you break this? And they'll be like, oh, wow.
Well, part of it, too, is, you know, some third-party publishers, their niche is we push the bounds of sort of Paizo's balanced comfort area.
Yeah.
So it's knowing sort of your target audience, and that's also a portion of house styles, kind of house balance. On that note of how do you balance it, that stuff's tricky, but if you're doing a turnover or professional work, you can basically leave a comment in the document and say, hey, I set it at this, here's my thought process, here are my concerns, and I haven't had a developer say, please don't do that.
Developers love it when you show your work, explain your reasoning.
Yes. Briefly, though.
Yes.
Communication is, like, really, really important when you're working, because mostly you're going to be working to spec, and you really just have to have that open line of communication, but yes, brief.
Yes.
Brevity is key.
Mm-hmm. And concise, clear language is just vital everywhere in this industry. Anything you do, you want concise, clear communication.
Yes, I like to think of the whole endeavor as kind of maybe creative technical writing or technical creative writing. Some people think of it either way. But
One other thing that didn't get brought up yet is looking at the things out there that are the most similar to the thing you're writing. Because one, you know, I've certainly had lots of times where it's like, this would be a cool magic. Oh, that's totally a thing already. There should be a feat that is already a thing. So one, just making sure it doesn't already exist with like the exact same name you were thinking. But then, you know, similar things for balance. You know,
for
maybe
sure.
I do
that whenever I make just races for fun. Mm-hmm. Star Wars, I've done a bunch of sci-fi pop culture races for fun. I post on the boards. And so I always just go to the stuff, but it's, I don't know, I find it a lot harder for, like, magic items or...
Magic items are tricky.
Items in Starfinder.
You'll probably notice from looking at, I'm sure that you all look at a bunch of RPG material, and one thing you'll notice is that almost all of the language around certain things, they never reinvent the wheel. So if there's a way to say something, it's worth your effort to search if you're trying to talk about granting bonuses or gaining bonuses or you have something. You will never see, not never, but you will rarely see published products where they treat those passages differently. So what you shouldn't be ending up with is something in one part of it you say, it gives you a X bonus versus you gain a bonus on X. You know, there's some very specific passages, and each publisher may have some differences in how they want to present
players
that.
Will receive a bonus.
Yes, yes. And you, but that's, you always want that. It should pretty much, if it's been done and it's been said one way, even though it's a new idea, you don't need to really invent the wheel again. And actually, you shouldn't, because they don't want to have that kind of variety. It should be really conformed.
Consistent.
Yes.
Yeah.
We had two questions right here, and then
So you mentioned the creative, it's kind of like creative technical writing. I studied technical writing in college, so the creative part is kind of the part I struggle a little bit with more. And one of the things that I have been talking with a professor recently was we were discussing the concept of originality and how do you make things original and not present someone with an idea and then have them turn around and say, oh, it's like X but Y. And then you sit there and you're like, oh, I thought I had a cool idea. And now that you mention it, it's actually, yeah, it's just something someone else did. How do you try to make something original but not like so far out there beyond the concept of the game that it just doesn't work at all?
Yeah, a couple things that come to my head are, one, creativity is something that can be learned. So a lot of people say, well, I'm creative or I'm not a creative person. Creativity for me is something that I have been practicing and learning. I'm still practicing how to come up with cool ideas that are flavorful and that'll make people go, oh, wow, that's cool. And that reminds me of blah, 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 but it's really cool, right? Instead of just, oh, that's a Jedi. one other thing, if I can remember it, is that a lot of times your creativity, if you're just doing stuff, you know, self-publishing, that's one thing, but if you're working with a developer, they're going to give you guidelines to be creative within, and that often helps me because you have kind of a box and they say, stay in here, go move around as much as you want in that box. But they don't want you to wow them with all of these awesome, crazy things that you came up with. And they're like, no, we just wanted a cool Hell Knight. We didn't want a Hell Knight with
brand new order.
Right, a brand new order just from the North. Stuff. We just wanted an NPC.
So that Hell Knight helmet.
So creative, but not too creative.
Yeah. So context is key there.
I think one of the important things to try to analyze with yourself is it's fine to take inspiration from things, but figure out what is inspiring you about what you're pulling from, and knowing the difference between taking like, oh, I'm just, you know, gonna make, you know, Tim Curry from Legend versus like, what do I like about that character, you know, and like really try to analyze what it is about and take the aspects that you like from different parts and then make it your own. Rather than, you know, just regurgitating something that's already been out there. But it takes a lot of analysis to kind of do that, to really realize what you're picking on. And then, yeah, when you're working to spec, I think it's really hard sometimes if you're just going to do whatever on your own. When you're freelancing, you're mostly working to spec. And that really, I find for me, like, as you were saying, like, that it really kind of sparks your creativity a little more. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys.
I agree with that.
And the lots of nodding heads.
When you, what you were talking about with the working to spec, one of the areas where, of course, when you actually get the assignment and you know what the specs are, you do want to work within those. But where you can kind of stretch your creative muscle a little bit is if it happens to be a type of assignment where you have the opportunity to pitch. It won't necessarily be, you've got this work, here's the work. Your first opportunity or an opportunity might be, okay, we are interested in working with you, but I would, you know, they may request four pitches or a number of pitches for, it could be items or monsters or adventure, you know, themes or anything like that. And then at that point, you do have a little more leeway earlier in that process to come up, you know, they're actually asking you for new ideas. And then at that point, if they, hopefully they choose something. And then once that's determined, now you do have to stay within the constraints, because one thing that they essentially, almost all the publishers, and I'll even say all the publishers, they really want exactly what they ask for.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you can't be creative.
There's a reason on the Freelance Forge when we do practice design challenges just to get better at making magic items or something like that. And we always have some sort of like, here's your guidelines. We want a, you know, cold winter region themed archetype or magic item or something like that. We don't just say, all right, let's all just practice monsters, because you can do anything with that. And it really lets you be creative in the
I guess, I don't want to say the right kind of way, but like a helpful kind of way for freelancing if you practice with guidelines. So give yourself, if you want to practice on your own or in a community, give yourself some guidelines. I'm going to make a, you know, a space sharing Hell Knight something. I don't know. That's never happened.
Make a randomized table. So right. Now I'm like, you know, just roll off of it and be like, oh, what combination is this? Okay, this is what I'm going to make.
I think you're sort of specific question at the beginning was basically, how do I not step on another concept's toes? You know, there's nothing new under the sun, right? Like, there, you assemble an idea out of little parts, and those have been assembled somewhere else, fine. But your specific take on it is new. And if it's like a mechanical thing, you know, obviously if it's a feat or whatever, don't make it fill the same niche that something else provides for. But like a monster or just a guideline that's, we want something that executes this theme, that's a wide open field. And even if there's something else conceptually adjacent, chances are what you come up with ain't going to be the exact same thing. So, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about avoiding pre-existing stuff.
Don't try to be perfectly original. There's no such thing.
Yes. Yep. It's all derivative.
Yeah.
Like Romeo and Juliet. That's been told a million times. Yeah. The movie Warm Bodies did it with zombies.
Yeah.
You mentioned some stuff about dealing with creativity and originality and not stepping on other people's toes. And Kate, you mentioned, you know, looking at this room and being like, why aren't you working for us?
I was quoting, yeah. I don't assign work.
Well, I'm not asking you if you do. When you're doing your writing, you're doing your creativity, and you're using things as inspiration, you know, what's a good way to address potential issues of inclusivity and cultural appropriation? Because, you know, we've all worked on, you know, like an Oriental setting or something along those lines, but, you know, hello, white boy.
Yeah.
Well, in Paizo, at least, the freelancers, we usually, they say that you need to consider diversity in what you're doing. So keep that in mind. They're very big on that, on, like, you know, balancing gender and sexuality and everything, and to really keep that in mind. So Paizo's very proactive about that. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I've never had them come back and be like, oh, you didn't do this enough. I mean, I just try to keep that in mind while you're doing that. I don't know about other.
I think a big thing is we need more diverse creators generally. Yeah. You know, it's as a white person, I'm not going to be like, this is how to not culturally appropriate, because I'm going to mess stuff up, right? Yeah. So, you know, building as diverse a network of peers as you can is really helpful. So, you know, you can maybe be like, hey, does anyone want to take a look at this thing to see if I did anything weird or, you know, and then recommending people for work too, you know, that like, hey, this is, you know, this kind of story, I think this person that I know would be really good for that. That's not to say you can only write things of your particular background, but just generally speaking, the more diverse we can make the whole creator side, the better everything is going to be.
Yes.
The more people seeing it, the more people who can point out, you know, that's a little iffy. And that's because frankly, you know, you can't make things for the entire segment of the population with only one small part of the population. So we need more people generally making stories.
You've been super patient.
Okay. So for someone who wants to, like, get a platform to get some work to show off to people, like, I'd like to make a business card that I can hand out with more than my email address and a smiley hour. So, like maybe what recommendations for, like, blogging platforms, websites, and maybe even tips to, like, make a layout that doesn't look like a third grader.
If you're willing to invest a little bit of money, you can purchase, you can get free hosting on Tumblr, but then use a paid, what do you call it, template to make it look very presentable. And you can also buy your own web hosting, generally for only, let's see, the domain will often be as little as like $12 to $30 a year, and then the hosting is usually like 4 or 5 times that.
Yeah. It's also, I forget if it's Blogspot or Blogger, but basically the one through Google that's free.
Yep.
They have pre-made templates. That's great. I mean, that's easy to set up. It's free. The URL is just x.blogspot.com. Easy to find.
Something about if you do with domain names, you're going to have to think about branding. Because with branding, that's going to be what you're selling out to the world. So whatever like domain name you end up going with, you know, make sure that it's pretty concise to what you're, you know, you're trying to, if it's your full name or, you know, see what else is out there when you Google that and what comes up. Yeah.
If you're trying to have a blog that's like a platform to present content on a regular basis, you might want to think about coming up with a title as opposed to your name. But a name is probably the best thing you want to do if you're creating a portfolio that you're using to give people a first impression before they hire you.
We got at least one question here. You were patient, so I said we got a question over here. And we have about 10 minutes. So let's go.
Well, I just want to share something related to an earlier question. But rave releases, writing the style.
Yeah.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it won't necessarily say, you know, the format for this publisher or that publisher, but it's a good general thing that most of the stuff applies to all of them.
Mm-hmm. So for listeners, if you didn't hear rave releases, writing with style, and it was on
the Editor's Guide to RPG.
Editor's Guide to RPG writing. Yeah. It's
and it's worth it. Very helpful. For Rogue Genius Games.
Yeah.
Very good resource.
Yeah.
It's also light and quick to read.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It was that really question I was going to add to the diversity thing and how to make sure you're not accidentally being offensive or being a jerk about something.
Uh-huh.
And that's just to look at what people are saying online in particular, like from that particular group that you're concerned about. A lot of times if something comes out that does have some questionable implications, I mean, people point that kind of thing out.
Yeah.
And so I think look up things that are similar and see how they've been criticized and maybe the things they didn't do quite so well and the things they did do so well, and that way, even if you don't, for example, like personally know anyone from Egypt, then you can still, like with online blogs and Twitter and things like that, you can still look up and see like, okay, this is what a lot of people think about this, and it's, I mean, obviously you're not going to get consensus because people are individuals, but it helps.
Read people that are the nationality.
Yeah, read people that are the nationality or the whatever group. Read things by, not necessarily just RPG things, but just in general.
There was a big hoopla on Paizo's Facebook. Paizo's Pathfinder Society Facebook page a couple months back about the lack of
a note on that exactly, on paying attention to media written by folks who aren't you, basically, or aren't like you. You can go back and listen to PaizoCon panels. They have diversity in world building and kind of equity in gaming, things like that. No Direction has all those old panel recordings. And Chris Frazier's big tip that I followed one year was basically follow social media accounts of creators of color, you know, diverse folks, and pay attention to what they're talking about, like you said. And I learned a ton that way.
You know, there was just a thing, if you're like, how do I find all these different creators to follow?
Yeah.
On Twitter, hashtag AprilTTRPGMaker, that a ton of people participated in, a ton of people from really diverse backgrounds participated in. I found a bunch of people to follow.
Yeah.
And so April is over, but you could still go back and search that hashtag and just be like, who are all these cool people that I should be following, the things they say about games?
And also through that, like, I found accounts that then put out open calls that I pitched to. So since we're running short on time,
under 5 minutes.
Yeah, can I add in something brief? Let's see. So if you're getting into freelancing and you're transitioning from sort of hobby to big league, quote unquote, it is a different sort of thing to try to fit that work around your life. Speaking of PaizoCon panels, if you go back and listen to last year's, I think it's the Care and Feeding of Freelancers or People Who Write RPGs, mm-hmm. but it's Liz Kortz, Judy Bauer, the editor of Paizo, and Liz Liddell, and that was a super good panel on kind of keeping up mental health, you know, dealing with the day-to-day realities of doing freelance work as a major part of your life.
We didn't even talk about deadlines yet, did we?
Right.
Now do that.
Yes.
And also, we've got Freelance Forge, it's an excellent community, in Jolly, who does work for Legendary Games, did a bunch of Kinesis stuff on the boards, and that came out. He has the DevCord, the Discord server, and that's another good sort of community resource. It is a different sort of, a different feel of community, and because it is Discord and live chat, it's a different kind of format than what Freelance Forge provides, but I got my first paid gig through that. It doesn't have an open link, but my Twitter is at afmullen, M-U-L-L-E-N. You can message me there, and I can talk to you and get you that. You can also hit up in Jolly on Discord, capital N dot space, capital J-O-L-L-Y, pound sign 8812.
There's also a...
You do that, I'm sure, one more time.
I can... I'll give it to you after the
thing. Yeah, so just come on up and talk. There's also a... a design contest coming up, I think, next week.
Yes.
Yes.
Our friend Jacob Michaels, Mike Wellum. Mm-hmm. And they've got a bunch of judges from Paizo and other groups.
I am a judge for round one.
Yeah, Kate Baker here is going to be judging round one. And so it's kind of an attempt to revisit the RPG Superstar style of designer search. And there will be a prize of a paid writing gig for the winner of this contest. And it's Design Finder, am I right?
Yeah.
Design Finder is going to be on the Paizo message boards, and you can also, I can find them on Facebook and Twitter, mm-hmm. Design Finder.
Through D20PFSRD.
Through D20PFSRD.
I would highly recommend everybody, if you're in this room, you probably want to submit to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, feel free to come check in with any of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should all do our like contact. I'm also Kate Baker GM on Twitter, which is probably the best way to follow what I'm doing.
On Twitter, we're at Freelance Forge or at FF Mike Kimmel. I promise I'll get on there sometime after the con. Or check us out on freelanceforge.boards.net. You won't see anything there because you need to register first. I'll see a notification as soon as you do.
And if anybody wanted to contact me for any questions or anything, just to follow up on anything we talked about here, it's just as easy as my name at gmail.com. Just all run together, Joe Kondrak at gmail.
Feel free to take a card of mine if you want to ask any questions.
I'll
put
cards out too.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you for joining us for another PaizoCon 2018 seminar recording. Special thanks to the KDCon team, including Justin Sluder, Ryan Hiller, Stephen Glicker, and the entire Roll for Combat crew. No Direction's PaizoCon coverage would not be possible without their tireless effort. To find this and other great Pathfinder podcasts, visit nodirectionpodcast.com.